And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall here in the studio with Judy Russick, Jaywin Russick, our theater critic. Good to see you, Judy.
Always good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about The Play That Goes Wrong. It's at the Hippodrome Theater this weekend. Well, I don't know. Does the title just sort of say it all?
Pretty much. This is a British comedy. It's in the mold of another British comedy, Noises Off. You may remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
A play within a play in which everything that can go wrong does go wrong. The Play That Goes Wrong is written by Henry Lewis, Jonathan Sayer, and Henry Shields. And like Noises Off, this is about a small theater company. In this case, they're trying to put on a 1920s murder mystery. It's supposed to be the most ambitious show that this fictitious little amateur company has ever done. The plot of the murder mystery really doesn't matter. This is mostly physical comedy, slapstick, sight gags, pratfalls, problems with the set and problems with the props. I went to this Tuesday night, opening night. I was in the mood to laugh. I was up for silliness. But, Tom, to use a British idiom, the show just was not my cup of tea. There's some clever language, text-based humor. One example comes near the start when the actor who's playing the director of the play within the play comes out and he makes some introductory remarks to the audience. Now, this production, unfortunately, didn't have any audio clips for us, but the London cast made an appearance on a high-profile British TV variety show, and I have an excerpt of a similar speech from that show. In this clip, you're going to hear Henry Lewis, who, besides being one of the writers, was also in the original West End cast. Let's listen.
As you can see, we have managed to secure a much larger budget than usual, so we will certainly be able to outshine our rather underfunded 2014 production of Roald Dahl's classic James and the Peach. Or last Christmas's The Lion and the Wardrobe. Or indeed our summer musical, Cat.
I'm a fan of Cat. I always like the mini version of that show. That's Henry Lewis in The Play That Goes Wrong. That's from a British TV show in 2015. And of course, Mr. Lewis not only performs, but he's one of the writers of this thing. So, Judy, we've talked before about how actors in comedies and farces really have to play their roles seriously. Otherwise, it doesn't work. How do they make out on that score here?
Well, they do, in most cases, play these roles with dead seriousness, with earnestness. They occasionally break character, which is also usually in the script, but it's intentionally funny, and it is. The play within a play has a program within the program. So besides the regular playbill, there's also a program for the murder mystery, which is called The Murder at Haversham Manor. So we have actors, playing characters in the murder mystery, if you're with me. Even more complicated, in the case of Evan Alexander, he is an actor who plays the director who makes the opening remarks, but he has also cast himself as the inspector. And according to the program within the program, he designed the production, he manages the box office, he does public relations,
etc. He's a superstar.
Yes, yes. Yeah. In terms of breaking character, at one point in the first act, he yelled, at least Tuesday night, at the audience, "Stop laughing! You're a terrible audience!" But then in the second act, he broke character again, and I couldn't tell if he was supposed to be laughing or crying, and that really wasn't a good thing. Now, another actor in the show, Brandon J. Ellis, comes across as totally earnest. He plays the guy operating the sound and the lighting board. At the Hippodrome, it's in one of the boxes, so he's always in full view of the audience. He uses a southern good old boy accent, and he repeatedly winds up on stage to his extreme dismay, and his frustration is very funny. The cast, incidentally, also includes an actor who may be familiar to Baltimore audiences, Yagel T. Welch. He's a member of the resident company at Everyman across the street. He plays the murder victim. He is supposed to be a corpse when the show opens, but this is a very abused and very animated corpse. He gets stepped on, he gets sat on, he gets spit on, and he reacts to all of this. The corpse reacts to all of this. Now, interestingly, Tuesday, I saw an understudy, Sid Solomon, in the role of the murder victim's brother. So seeing an understudy seems very appropriate to this particular show. And actually, he's playing the actor playing the murder victim's brother. And that actor is just adorable. When he realizes the audience likes him, he laughs or applauds right along with the audience. I have another clip from the British variety show. This is before things go completely off the rails, and it will give you an idea of the way the intended murder mystery is supposed to sound.
I'm Inspector Carter. This must be Charles Havisham. Take the body upstairs so I can examine it.
Yes, Inspector!
Are there any ideas as to the cause of death, Inspector?
Could be a number of things. Strangulation, suffocation, poisons. Before fully examining the body, I wouldn't like to say.
How could someone do it?
Try not to think about it, Miss Collymore.
That's from the play that goes wrong. That's the Britain's Royal Variety Performance. That's a TV show, so it's the West End cast. So, Judy, you mentioned that problems with the set and the props, this physical comedy, adds to the jocularity. So without giving too much away, tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, the set is designed by Nigel Hook, and it won the 2017 Tony Award. And frankly, it is a leading character in the show. It's a detailed drawing room set, an English country manor. It's a two-story set. There's a small room, a study, up on a kind of balcony. The props repeatedly aren't where they're supposed to be. Parts of the set break down. Now, getting them to break down on cue is really a feat in itself. And so is pretending to have the set and the props injure the actors without, of course, actually injuring them. So what this set does turns out to be a major engineering feat, and the set is the real star.
So I can't resist. When all said and done, does the play that goes wrong get it right?
Well, a lot of folks certainly think so. This is a hit in London. It's still running there. It was a hit on Broadway. It moved off Broadway in February. It's been seen internationally all over the globe, Moscow, Paris, Tokyo. It's still running in Buenos Aires. The show's creators are the founding members of a London troupe called Mischief Theatre, and their fortunes are definitely on the upswing. The BBC is planning a six-part TV spinoff. In general, it's not so easy for pros to play amateurs. It's like trained singers trying to sing off key, and there's a very thin line there. The acting style in this play uses really exaggerated gestures and poses, a lot of sawing the air. Even so, to me, the acting and the gags often go one step too far, and they feel strained. I think this show once boasted that it won every Tony Award it was nominated for. Well, it was only nominated for Best Set. So the set certainly deserved it. But I think the Tony nominators knew what they were doing by not nominating anybody else.
All right. The play that goes wrong, it's at the Hippodrome Theater here in Baltimore through Sunday. And we've got information about tickets and all that stuff at WIPR.org/midday. And by the way, we've got 20 seconds left. The Tony Awards are happening Sunday night, CBS, 8 o'clock. What's your prediction?
Well, I have a hope. I don't know if it's exactly a prediction, but the two favorites are Tootsie, based on the 1982 movie, and Hadestown, based on mythology. I haven't seen either of these yet. I've heard some of the music for Hadestown. It's the more unusual show. I'm holding out for it. And I have to mention another nominee from that show. Baltimore's own Andre DeShields is nominated for Best Featured Actor in a Musical. He plays Hermes in Hadestown. It's his third Tony nomination. It would be his first win. My fingers are crossed.
All right, fingers are crossed for him. So next week, Judy, we're going to talk about another unusual show. It's the Baltimore Rock Opera Society's new production of a new show called Welcome to Shakespeare. So I look forward to that. We'll see you then.
See you then, Tom.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk about Roe v. Wade, the 1973 Supreme Court ruling that affirmed a woman's right to an abortion. It's being challenged by a series of laws passed recently by a half dozen state legislatures that aim to ban or severely restrict abortion in those states. So we'll talk about it with Kim Whaley. She's a professor of law at the University of Baltimore. And Karen Nelson, she's the CEO of Planned Parenthood of Maryland, along with Stephen Aiden of Americans United for Life. So that's coming up tomorrow. On Midday, lunch for our guests today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park, hosting Eddie's Bark Party on Saturday, June 15th. It's a dog-friendly sidewalk soiree, complete with gourmet hot dogs, beverages, and music from DJ Baby Alcatraz, with funds benefiting Barks. Tickets and info at eddiesofrolandpark.com/barkparty. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up after the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Appreciate your being with us. Have a great day.